News Radio 560 KPQ time is 12:15. This is The Agenda. I'm Kevin Rout, sitting in for Dave Bernstein today. And we are talking Link Transit's Prop 1. So you have your ballots. You should have your ballots by now. If you don't, please contact the Chelan County Auditor's Office. But if you do have your ballots, one of the things you're being asked is whether or not you want to vote yes or no on Link Proposition 1. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what that proposition is, though we did have Richard Rock here not too long ago. We'll just kind of remind you of what that proposition would do. And then we'll talk with Russ Spidell and Lauren Lobzak about why you should vote, in their opinion, yes, on the measure. I didn't clear this ahead of time with them, but we do have our Plum Perfect text line. If you want to ask a question of our guest today, I can certainly relay your information. Or I can pretend like it's my own. I can always make it seem like it's my question. But for now, we'll just welcome in Richard Durock, General Manager of Link Transit, Lauren Lobzak, and Russ Spidell. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Good morning, Kevin.
Yeah, see, you did the same thing. I almost said morning, and I just was like, wait, no, I'm just too used to being here in the morning. I don't talk to people in the afternoon. I talk to people in the morning. So people have their ballots now. I'm sure there is somebody who's already filled it out and returned it. So I guess we're not technically speaking.
I have myself.
Okay. So we're not technically speaking to those people who have already done this. But we are going to talk a little bit about Link Prop 1. And this is Chelan and Douglas County, right?
It's Chelan and Western Douglas County.
Western.
So the Eastmont, Arondo, and Waterville School District boundaries in Douglas County.
Okay. So just kind of like if you're closer to the closer and a little bit south toward the river, you're going to vote on this.
So, yes.
Okay. Richard, we'll just start kind of reminding people what exactly is on the initiative. What is Prop 1?
Sure. Prop 1 is an increase in the local sales tax by 2/10 of a cent or 2 cents on a $10 purchase, and that would come to Link Transit to fund a significant expansion of service. Link is not looking for money to continue its existing operations. We're financially stable with what we have, but the community told us they are interested in having service on Sundays for the first time ever, much better levels of Saturday service, service later in the evening, and higher frequency service in the urban areas. And then also smaller vehicles type services for the foothills and some of the lower density areas were things that the community asked for. So the sales tax measure was put together to respond to those requests. It's based on what the community told us they wanted, and we're really coming to find out whether the community, in fact, is willing to invest for that expansion of service. It ends up being about a 40% expansion in the system that would provide a lot more service in the community.
How much money have you projected would be raised with this particular sales
tax? Well, the service itself costs about $5.5 million a year, and the sales tax should generate a little more than that to cover, based on current collections, to cover those expenses. And it would do that, and then there would be a little bit to do some capital improvements, some road improvements to make the buses be able to move faster through traffic.
And when would you start collecting it and start to be able to implement these changes?
The tax is actually phased. 1/10 of it would go into effect if the citizens approve it January 1st, 2020. The second 1/10 would go into effect January 1st, 2022. And we broke it into two phases because buying a bus takes about 2 years to buy a vehicle. We don't need to pay for them till then. And I really can't hire drivers fast enough to spend all the money that would be coming in for the expansion. So this is going to take us probably 3 years to implement all the services that are funded. So we didn't ask for all the money all at once.
All right. So that's kind of the basics of what this is. And now we can turn to the people who are fighting for people to say yes to this initiative. And Russ and Lauren, why do you guys think it's so important that people approve this?
Well, Kevin, Lauren, why don't you go ahead? And then I'll come in after you, Lauren.
This sounds great. So two things. I had the opportunity to work at Link Transit in their planning department and really got to see how the numbers bear out. Link helped me understand how transit works and how ridership flows are achieved. And I see this as an opportunity in our community to enhance the resiliency of our economy, because it's going to be able to get more people to where they need to go at the times that they want to go. And I think that the numbers bear out well. On a personal note, I rode Link Transit from Waterville to Wenatchee for years when I was first kind of coming up in my career, and credit that opportunity for allowing me to have that job that was the foot in the door down at the Chelan County offices here in Wenatchee. And had I not had that opportunity to ride the Waterville Route 25, that probably wouldn't have been as viable of an option for me, or it would have set me back in ways economically to have to pay to have a vehicle that could make that travel. And I want other people to be able to have that same opportunity. You know, once upon a time, someone made the decision to invest in transit, and I have been the beneficiary of that. And I see that the area has changed. We have a much different working patterns than we did even 10 and 15 years ago. There's a lot more evenings and weekends out there, and I want those people to have that same opportunity, and I feel very passionately about that.
And Russ?
Yes, Kevin. So I think Lauren touches on a really important aspect of this proposition, and that is the economic investment it makes in our communities. Lauren has just given you one example of how a young person can use Link as a means to start their career, to help develop their career. Maybe it's a young person who's using it for college or for school, but it doesn't have to just be for college or school. We're transporting our boarders, people boarding our buses. I say our, I'm not an employee of Link. I'm chairing the campaign for this proposition, but I like to use the word our and we anyway. So we have about a million boarders a year, a little over that. Over half are commuting to and from work. About a quarter are going to school for education. So the way I see this, Kevin, is even though there is a tax associated with it, in my mind it's an investment in our communities, because what it's doing is it's broadening the reach of our public transit from roughly a 12 to 13-hour transit day to more like an 18 or 19-hour transit day. So we can pick up people working in hotels or restaurants in Leavenworth or Chelan, people who can't afford to live there but who want public transportation. We're adding Sundays and holidays for the first time, and we're expanding Saturdays. So if I'm commuting to work, I can now rely on Link for 7 days a week. That's huge. What if I'm an agricultural worker? You know, I'm not going to just work Monday through Friday. I'm going to be working Saturday and Sunday. Maybe I'm working in a shed or in an orchard, or maybe I just want to not drive my car because there's no place to park in Leavenworth. So there are a lot of benefits to this for our communities as a whole, and so I see it as an investment. I'd like to, if I may, Kevin, touch on an issue that this morning came up with a prominent Leavenworth businessman. This is a businessman who's watches every dollar he spends and every dollar the public spends. And he was saying to me, Russ, I'm concerned about how I see large buses of Link that go by my business and they seem to be empty. And so Richard Durock and I were discussing this in the few minutes we had before coming in for this session today, this afternoon. And I'd like to ask Richard, if this is all right with you, to comment on the transportation of people, for example, from Leavenworth into Wenatchee, what the numbers are. And Richard, is it possible I'd be seeing a bus? Does that bus stay empty all day? What happens with it?
Yeah, and that's one of the very common comment people make is, why do you have so many empty buses or large empty buses? And the answer is the buses aren't empty. They average 13 passengers an hour system-wide, including the very rural routes, which are very low ridership, to the higher ridership. But when you pass that bus on the road, it might only have one or two people on it. The Leavenworth bus, for example, those are our largest buses in our fleet. And the reason those are the 40-foot coaches that can seat 38 people is once or twice a day, we were having standees on the highway at 60 miles an hour. Not a safe condition for transporting people. So when those buses were time to be replaced, we bought the larger vehicles to guarantee everyone had a seat so that we keep them safe. But that only happens 2 to 3 times a day that bus is completely full. Most of the time it's running 15, 16 people, but it's not 15 or 16 people all at the same time. person, you know, maybe three or four people get on at the east, west end of Leavenworth, and another three people get on the east end of Leavenworth, and somebody gets on in Peshastin, somebody gets on in Dryden, maybe one or two get off in Kashmir, and eight more people get on while it's in Kashmir, and then it comes into town with 18 people. And that's probably what happens most of the day. 3:30, when the private schools let out in Leavenworth and the crunch pack shift change happens, that bus has got 38 people going into town, and we need all those seats. And so we put buses on routes based on what the peak need is of that route. So the same way we try to build streets to handle what the peak capacity is. Most of the time a street is empty. But you try to build it large enough that when you need the capacity, it's there for the people to use it.
Is it possible to essentially have different sized buses on the same route throughout the day? I mean, like, could you have it like where you know that the 6 a.m., the 7 a.m., or the 5 a.m., whatever, takes you out to Leavenworth, and that's a full bus. We will make sure we have the big buses. But maybe at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you're looking at 10 people tops.
You can do that. The issue is you need to use your bus 12 to 15 hours a day to justify the price. A 40-foot transit bus costs almost $600,000. So having it parked much of the day is not a good investment or use of the resources. And then the labor to trade drivers out between the buses, it's cheaper to ride, to keep that bus in service than it is actually to trade them out. Where we know we don't need a large bus, we actually do use smaller buses. So there are some smaller buses in some of those midday route trips that don't have the capacity needs. We don't trade them out. That, you know, we'll put the run pattern together so that that smaller bus can handle that. And we have five different sizes of buses so that we can try to match the size of the bus to the needs out there. And we actually have just acquired some more smaller vehicles that are low floors, which make them easy for accessibility. And so we'll actually be replacing some larger buses with smaller buses because that's an option now.
When you, Russ and Lauren, have gone out and talked with folks as part of kind of the advocates to try to get this proposition passed, what has sort of been the response that you have heard from people? You talked about that. You talked to a businessman. I see empty buses. Obviously, that's going to be one concern we can talk about. What are some of the other things you hear from folks as you go out and talk to them?
Yeah, and of course, the bottom line is they're not empty because we average 13 passengers an hour per bus. Lorna, if I may, I'll just go first and let you follow this time. But so what I'd like to say is what a positive, happy experience it was to go to the Wenatchee Senior Activity Center, which we shorthand to the Senior Center, to present on behalf of this campaign. The seniors love Link, and Link goes to the Senior Center. It takes seniors to and from the Senior Center, and they are, to a person, appreciative of this service. There was a gentleman who came up to me after the presentation. This was a noon presentation at the Senior Center about 3 weeks ago now, and he said, Link is a godsend to my family. My two sisters can't drive. Neither has a car. They depend on Link. So that's a message that I've been hearing. Lauren, how about you?
Maybe I'm a little siloed, but I hear basically my peers not liking to try to find parking spots, really trying to embrace a little bit lighter footprint, and saying that's something that I want to do. I can get on the bus, and it's cheaper on my car over time. You know, even for people who own a car and can afford to drive it, it's cheaper over time to get on a bus. I've also, just to make sure that I was understanding things, I recently got on the Wenatchee Craigslist rants and raves, because that's always a good place to see what the other side of the coin might be thinking. And I think that there is some reluctance sometimes because people don't understand the metrics of what can be captured in the benefit of adding to it. And there was some criticism of some of the top donors being from out of the area, and feeling like this was not something that was grassroots and from here. And I didn't want to get involved on a discussion on Craigslist, but I wanted to point out that the people that are hired at Link, it's a place where The board is a federated board of all of our local elected officials, and the people that work there and who drive the buses and work in customer service and do a lot of the facilities maintenance and stuff, those are living wage jobs that do not necessarily require a college degree, that where you can grow and you can be a part of your community and also afford to live and raise a family in your community on these sorts of wages that are offered here. So a bus driver or a facilities or customer service employee can do those things. And I think that of the things that we do have control over, Link here in our community is very much ours. It is very much managed by people who live here, elected officials who come together to find common themes to serve the community as a whole. And so I wanted to take that opportunity because I there's probably some reluctance sometimes, people not feeling like this was really coming from the community.
So let me just touch on that a little bit, if I may, Kevin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two of our major contributors are the Chambers of Commerce of Leavenworth and Lake Chelan. Now, why is that? And maybe we should bring in Richard DeRock again. But Link is being proactive in terms of helping Leavenworth and helping Chelan deal with some of their congestion. We just received $2,500 for this campaign from the Leavenworth Chamber of Commerce. That's a big deal for us. That's a big contribution. Lauren's talking about people saying, well, where's your campaign money coming from? And the Lake Chelan Chamber of Commerce is giving us $2,000. Why? Because we're being proactive in helping them deal with some of the congestion and traffic and pedestrian getting to recreation, for example, tourists getting to restaurants in Leavenworth, to hotels. That's a big deal. And that's why I see this as an economic investment. Maybe we should just take a minute, if you're willing, and ask Richard to comment on what Link is doing in Leavenworth and Chelan.
Well, and in fact, it's one of the major purposes of this measure is that we heard from our communities that access to jobs, in particular in Leavenworth and Chelan, was difficult because so many of them are Friday, Saturday, Sunday service-oriented jobs, and we have limited Saturday service. We have no Sunday service. So people that can take those jobs have to be able to drive to get up there. And then Leavenworth has a significant parking shortage. And so if you've got 500 or 600 employees parking in Leavenworth, you've taken away the parking for the tourists that are there. And we have almost 500 parking spaces between Wenatchee and Leavenworth that we have in our park and ride lots that go unused on Sundays and Saturdays. If we had service, we could work with the businesses to get the employees to park in the park and ride lots, ride the buses up to their jobs, and make the parking available for the tourists to allow Leavenworth to continue to flourish.
So, Richard, that's part of our plan, right?
That's part of the plan, exactly. It's to take advantage of the resource we already have, use it better, get more commuters doing those services. Same thing with Chelan. We don't have quite as many parking facilities in the Chelan corridor, but we have some, and we can do exactly the same type of thing to encourage our residents, the ones that don't have the income wherewithal to live in those communities, and also allow us to employ more people in areas that are more job impact. Because they'll have access to more jobs. So it's a real economic buy, and I think that's what we heard both from the businesses and from the employees. That's what they were asking for Sunday and evening service for us. It wasn't just to go to church. It wasn't just to go to the park. It was, I have to work on those days, and transit would make a big difference in my life. And so that really is that economic argument that is there.
But there's also a new investment that's been made in Leavenworth, right, behind the Safeway, Richard?
Right. We got the state funded a park and ride lot in Leavenworth, so we have a 90-space park and ride behind Safeway. And that was built to allow our Leavenworth bus stay on time because our bus got so caught in traffic, we couldn't keep reliability on the routes. So we're truncating our route at the east end of Leavenworth, and then we have a shuttle that runs through town. That shuttle will help distribute people through town, but it also connects the hotels at the north end, at the east end with the west end of town and serves the tourist community as well as serving to our commuter buses. And that's all an effort to make the system work better for people who are commuting so they can rely on it. Because if we're 20 minutes late getting someone to work, they're not going to stay employed very long. So we have to be reliable.
Talking with Richard DeRock, General Manager of the Link Transit, also with Russ Spidell and Lauren Lobsack on the campaign for Yes on Link Prop 1, which is currently in your ballot box or very well could be on your kitchen table or counter or what have you. You can text us if you have a question about the proposition or anything from any of our three guests at 663-5139. Just send us a text. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. You're listening to The Agenda. I'm Kevin Rount, sitting in for Dave Bernstein.
KPQQ.com and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
This is Radio 560. KPQ time is 12:39. Kevin Rount sitting in for Dave Bernstein on The Agenda today, talking with Richard DeRock, Russ Spidell, and Lauren Lobsack about Link Prop 1. You might have your ballots. You may not have opened them yet, but it isn't that it's not just primary stuff or like you're knocking three or four candidates down to do. There are two very important initiatives propositions to look at, and we're going to discuss Link. I think we've had Misty V. Brock on to talk about the Rivercom and that sort of a tax maintaining. That's a tax that we already pay, which is a little bit different than this. This is sort of a 2% or a 0.2%. Let me make sure I get that right. 0.2% increase in taxes phased in over the next 2 years, 1/10 in 2020, 1/10 in 2021. And 22. Sorry, and then Russ Spidell is sort of coordinating the Vote Yes campaign. And Russ, people are going to hear that increase sales tax, and particularly I think in parts of Eastern Washington, you're going to, I mean, just immediately increase my taxes, and they're just going to, the hackles maybe go up a little bit. They get a little on the defensive, and you have to work really hard to convince them that what you're doing is for the betterment of the community. Have you run into those kinds of people, and what have you told them?
So, Kevin, my wife Jean and I have discussed this, and I think Jean has the right answer, and that is that this is us. This is not a tax coming from Washington, D.C. It's not a tax coming from Olympia. It's our tax. It's a tax by us, for us, and it's our investment in our communities. So our public, through surveys that Link conducted over about, what, 3, 4, 5 years, Richard?
About 3 years.
3 years. Our public came back and said, these are additional services we want, and the first set of surveys, and then the second set of surveys, they came back and said, okay, this is what we'll pay for. This is how much we'll pay. And that was 0.2%. The public said, no, we really don't want to go to 0.3%, that increase, but we'll do 0.2%. So our public has said, at least in terms of what we understand from our studies, that these are the additional services we want, such as what we've talked about today, the Sundays, holidays, enhanced Monday through Friday, enhanced Saturday. This is what we want. This is what we're willing to pay. So I think Gene's got it right. This is not from outside. This is us. This is by us and for us, saying we want this to improve our community. So that's how I see this. Now, is the word spelled T-A-X? Yes, it's spelled T-A-X. But how is it also spelled? I think it's spelled I-N-V-E-S-T-M-E-N-T, investment. I see it really as an investment in ourselves. And Gene and I visited briefly with Marianne Warren in Chelan. Over the weekend, Judge Tom Warren's surviving spouse. And Marianne said, I'll quote her. She said, Link is the best thing to ever happen to our communities. And I thought, wow, what a beautiful statement. That Link has done something for our communities that we otherwise couldn't have done. So, Kevin, that's how I answer your question.
So that sounds a perfectly fine answer. Somebody asked, what is the current tax rate that Link gets?
0.4%, and it's been that since 1991 when the voters approved the 0.4 tax rate back in 1991.
Okay, so for the past 28 years, we've had 0.4, and so now we're going to go up to essentially 0.6.
Right, and the legislature, after they repealed a source of fund, well, the voters voted for, and they repealed in 1989, 45% of our revenue disappeared at that time. When they did that, they gave transit the authority to go to 0.9%, up to 0.9, which would have replaced all the money. We've not gone back to the ballot This actually would not replace all the money we lost in 1989, but it allows us to fund the expansion the public said they wanted.
Okay, so you actually, I mean, you would maybe get a yes vote of it, but you could theoretically ask for up to...
The board could have chosen to go for a higher amount.
Okay.
And in fact, that's why we asked the question, what is the public interested in seeing? And in the surveys, we were trying to get some sense of where they wanted to go, because we could do even more service than we're doing. I mean, this is a big expansion, but we could do more. Public told us they weren't interested in doing more. They really didn't see the congestion levels justifying the higher levels of service, but they definitely wanted the Sunday, Saturday evening service to handle second and third shifts, and they wanted us to work on North Wenatchee Avenue and Cellar Bridge where we have congestion.
So I guess then how did you arrive at 2/10? I mean, what's the process of that?
Well, the process was through that survey process. What we did was we went out and asked everyone, what do you want? We got a really long list. Took that list, took out the stuff we can't do. We're not going to provide shuttle service to Seattle. We can't legally do charters. So he pulled that stuff out, took the rest of it, and sat down and costed. What would it cost to do what the public asked us for? And then we went back out with the survey and said, this is what you ask for, and this is what it costs. Which of this do you actually are willing to do? Because it's going to cost you. And we had an interactive survey which showed, if you pick this service, this is what the impact on sales tax. Through that process, we were able to identify what the priorities were, Saturday, Sunday, the holidays, and the expanded hours, that worked out to being about $5.5 million worth of service. To cover $5.5 million worth of service, it takes a 2/10 sales tax. Each tenth generates about $3 million a year. So it was from what the public told us they wanted to do. Now, it also was when they told us it's what they wanted, that's also where they said they were willing to pay for. When people who picked more services, who wanted, say, a 3/10 or a 4/10 funding level, the support went down well below 50% at that level. But we were at 67% said they were comfortable with the 2/10 sales tax. Now, that's a survey. That was about 10% of the population responded to it, which is why we're on the ballot to find out what the public is actually willing to do.
And you just need a simple majority, right?
Because it's a simple majority, yes.
Okay. Lauren, I was thinking about your story about traveling from Waterville, and I was thinking about the fact that we have a really great school here in Wenatchee, Wenatchee Valley mm-hmm. College. Mm-hmm. And there's two campuses. There's here and there's OMAC.
Yep.
There's a lot of space between here and OMAC for people to live that maybe want to come in and commute. There's jobs, and I love the idea of people getting to work and all that. But you talk about that idea of people who want to maybe expand their education, or maybe they've been working a job. I'd imagine you've run into those kinds of people too that are, you know, yes, it does get me to my job, but maybe it also gets me to opportunities to improve my life like it did yours.
Yes, and so that's, as also a graduate of Wenatchee Valley College, I can really speak to the value that education was for me, has been for me. And I think about the ways that people are living now. We have high cost of living, and I, as an adult, have lived with my parents in the course of my life a few times, at times when I was between a housing opportunity or some other thing, and because I also love my mom's cooking, and they're pretty cool folks. But otherwise, you know, we're seeing a different sort of lifestyle and world, and people having the opportunity to stay maybe at their home in the community of Waterville and be able to get on that bus and improve their lives through, if not a job, through an education at Wenatchee Valley College or any of the technical opportunities that are here and available. The bus can get you from Waterville and back right now. And I was lucky to have a Monday through Friday where I could ride the first bus in the morning out of Waterville and get the last bus in the evening back to Waterville. Now, if I am a student and I also need to have a part-time job, the frequency of that bus is maybe not going to then work for me. And I'm going to have to make other choices that might compromise my ability to continue on with school because maybe I can't afford it because I do have to work, or, you know, those choices. And I see for the investment that I can make as part of this community now of about $25 a year on, you know, cumulative of sales tax that I would be extra paying, my community then gets that lifeline to go to and fro from Waterville however they need to, for whatever reason they do.
And that's what it works out to, about two-tenths is about $25 a year.
For the average taxpayer in Chelan-Douglas County, so that's an average income, family income of $53,000, that works out to, based on what they would put on their own taxes, a little over $24 per year per household, or about $8.88 a person.
All right. We've got to take one more break, and we'll wrap things up with Richard DeRock, Russ Spidell, and Lauren Lobsack. You're listening to The Agenda. I'm Kevin Rounds, sitting in for Dave Bernstein.
.com and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
News Radio 560 KPQ time is 12:51. Kevin Rounds sitting in for Dave Bernstein on The Agenda. Joining me, Richard DeRock from Link Transit, and Russ Spidell, who's coordinating the Vote Yes on Link Prop 1 campaign, along with Lauren Lobsack, who's also part of that campaign. And I wanted to really quickly touch on something Lauren had said. She mentioned about the idea about the footprint idea. And I would imagine that some of the reasons that people will ride the Link Transit buses, you guys are very proactive in reducing the carbon footprint of your buses. You have your electric buses, you've got propane buses, you've got a lot of different things. So touch it real quickly on kind of some of your efforts to be a little more green.
Sure. So we have 41% of our fleet is propane powered. Propane is 16% less greenhouse gas than gasoline, about 18% less than diesel. And it's very cost effective. And we went into propane both for efficiency and the cleanliness, but also because it costs us less to operate. So it ends up being a real win-win. Our electric vehicles are even more clean. Those are true zero-emission vehicles. The five vehicles that we had operating here saved about 500 metric tons of carbon a year just for those five vehicles. So a significant investment, and we'll have 10 in operation here in March. So it is a significant movement through. And similar there, the electric vehicles cost us about half of what it costs us to operate a diesel. So we have that great win-win of not only being a contributor to cleaning our environment, but we can do it for less money than we've done for traditional fuels.
And that'll be interesting, because I know a lot of people probably have that in mind. Not only is it maybe a convenience or a cost savings for themselves, but they also maybe want to make that choice when they do that as well. All right, as we wrap things up, I love to do this. I love to do this with everybody who's in this kind of situation. It's called the elevator pitch. You have about 30 to 45 seconds to give us why we should listen to you. And do you want to start, Lauren?
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay.
So on the personal level, first, the gratitude for the concept of Link in 1990 to put it together, so that it has been a resource for me and for my generation and everyone who's followed behind to be able to use that. And now seeing what new opportunities, what new technologies can provide, and the growth of our community, I feel like, even as a fiscal conservative, I'm not afraid to invest on this metric because of what we gain, because it's a very human, very real gain that you get. You get people that get to where they need to go, and that has been the motivating factor for me.
All right, Russ.
Thank you, Kevin. So Link Proposition 1, it's beneficial as an investment for our communities. It's beneficial for our communities and our social network, and it's also beneficial for our environment. Please vote yes in favor of Link Proposition 1.
That does it for The Agenda today. My thanks to my guest, Richard DeRock with Link Transit, I cannot offer him an elevator pitch. He's not permitted. But I can say also thank you to Lauren Lobsack and Russ Spidell on the Vote Yes on Link Prop 1 campaign. If you have any further questions, I'd imagine there's a way that they can call you or email you or something and ask them.
Yes, please call me 662-1211.